Okay, we've been going through Luke for some time. I do want to take a break from Luke this week. We're going to do something a little more topical. The elders, we've been talking and praying for quite some time. Just what are the next steps for our church? And I just thought one step would be to go back and look at our membership agreement that we all signed when we joined Cornerstone Church St. Paul. So we're going to be looking at that a little bit this morning, and we're going to be going through a lot of scripture. So for members, this is what you signed up for. For those who have been regularly attending for some time, this is good for you to hear, even though you may not have signed on as a member yet officially. We will probably be approaching you soon, a couple of you out here that have been coming for several months. We have it in our church documents that you have to attend for 6 months before we would approach you as a member. But this will be good for you to see what, or if you want to, sign up for and be a member of Cornerstone Church St. Paul. For everyone else, this hopefully the Lord just speaks to us this morning. I think all of us in our walks, we go through different seasons. There's tough seasons, and there's things that are going on that are good and all this stuff. But it's always good to just go back once in a while and look back. What does it mean to be a church member? What did I sign up for? What does it mean to be a member of Cornerstone Church St. Paul? So I've titled the sermon this morning, Faithful and Fruitful Church Members. I think that's where we all want to be, right? So as we start out, I came up with a little quiz. Kids, I'm going to need your help, okay? Malachi, you want to start? All right, do you know your trees really well? You think you can tell me what kind of tree something is if I show you a picture? What kind of tree is that?
Orange tree.
Orange tree. Good job. And how can you tell that that is an orange tree? Has oranges on it, right? Perfect. Aria, you want to try one?
Yes.
Okay.
Pear tree?
And how can you tell it's a pear tree?
Because
you see pears. Good job. All right. Josiah, you want one? A little tougher.
Banana tree.
And how can you tell it's a banana tree? The bananas are not quite ready yet, but yep, you can see bananas. Good job. All right. Simeon, you want a tough one? It's tough. Can you tell me what kind of tree that is? Do you know that fruit? Pomegranate. Good job. And you can tell because it's got juicy pomegranate on it, right? All right, last one. Henry, you ready for this? Toughy? What kind of tree is that, Henry? Rowan, do you know?
Apple
tree. Good job. All right, round of applause for the kids. All right, we can tell what kind of trees these are based on their fruit, right? What happens, what does it tell us about the branch of the tree, or maybe even the tree itself, if we have fruit that looks like that? It needs some help, right? Something's going on where this apple is not receiving what it needs to from the main part of the tree, and it's not producing good fruit, right? So it tells us something about the branch. Would you guys turn with me to John chapter 15? We're going to read verses 1 through 11 this morning, and then we're going to go through our Cornerstone Church statement of commitment to each other. And out of respect and love for God's word, why don't we stand? So John chapter 15, 1 through 11. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You may be seated. What does it mean to be fruitful? It means being in Christ. It means abiding in Christ. And the way that we can abide in Christ is being a part of his body, his church. Every member here, when you signed on as a member of Cornerstone Church St. Paul, you signed this paper. And part of this it's not binding in any way. If you're ever felt led to, you know, move or attend another church, it's okay. You know, you can have our blessing. But when you join as a member, you're saying, hey, I am committing to be part of this specific body. I'm committing to this people. I want to be under the care of these elders. And that's what you're doing when you're signing that document. You're saying, this is the body I want to be a part of and held accountable to. So the section in the church bylaws, it says, having received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life and accepting the basic Christian teaching in Cornerstone's statement of faith, I now feel led by God to unite with the Cornerstone Church family. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other members to do the following. If you guys remember back, some of you, it was pretty early on, several years ago. Remember, you signed at the bottom, but you also kind of initialed next to four different things on this paper. We're going to go through those four things here this morning. So these are the things we commit to God and to other members here. So the first one is, I will protect the unity of my church. I will protect the unity of my church. And we do this by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, by showing deference in following the leaders of the church. So let's look at the first one, by acting in love toward other members. I think someone, Don, maybe prayed this morning that scripture, they'll know you are Christians by your love, right? We must love one another. God showed his love for us, so we must then love one another. Love is the sign that we belong to God and commit to one another. 1 John 4:16-21. And I pray that the Lord's word speaks to all of us far above anything I have to say this morning. But 1 John 4, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Loving is a big part of being in a family, isn't it? And we all know from being in our own individual families and from our church family, sometimes we can be a little difficult, right? But it's important, even in those, hey, no pointing back there. Even in those times of difficulty, we choose love, right? And if, especially for those of us who have been married, have kids, we know sometimes you don't always feel that love, but we choose love. And we choose to stay together and love one another. Why? Because we have been loved so great by God. God sent his only son to die in our place. How can we then not love one another? Amen? So I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members. It is so important, church. Let's do it well. I will protect the unity of my church by refusing to gossip. I don't think any of us would like to sit back and be like, oh, I'm a gossiper, right? But how many times have we ever caught ourselves, ooh, I probably shouldn't have shared that. Ooh, I probably said something a little bit the way I shouldn't have. You don't have to raise your hand back there either. But yeah, we've all been there, Ron. But it's... Church, I do want to warn us, and I need to remind myself of this often as well. A lot of times gossip isn't just, you know what I heard about so-and-so. A lot of times it's just saying things you don't have permission to say. It's saying things that are unnecessary to say. You know what I'm saying? It's those things that kind of just kind of creep in and we don't even realize until after the fact and we're like, ooh, I probably shouldn't have done that, but hopefully they didn't notice or hopefully it's not a big deal. Let's commit, church, to watching what we say before we say it, protecting one another, refusing to gossip. One way to watch what we're doing, refusing to gossip or saying negative things, is by replacing it with other things. So Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How many of us would love to say, everything that comes out of my mouth gives grace to those who hear? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? We're not going to be perfect at it, but I think the more that we can focus on building one another up, the more we will notice we're giving grace to those who hear, and the less gossip we're going to catch ourselves doing. So let's focus on submitting to the Lord, to his Spirit, and being guided by his Spirit to build one another up. Look for ways to build one another up. Not just Sunday mornings, throughout the week, at home. I'm looking at some kids looking a little convicted. We're going to build one another up. Okay? I will protect the unity of my church by refusing to gossip. I will protect the unity of my church by showing deference in following the leaders of the church. So deference is humble submission and respect. Okay? Hebrews 13:17. A writer of the Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Okay? The elders of this church have a joy and an obligation to shepherd you. Okay? It is a weighty role. None of us take it lightly. In fact, I don't want to be held accountable for leading this church. But the Lord has called me and John and Michael and Mike to lead this church well, to shepherd well. And when you guys signed as members of this church, you're saying yes to us, watching over your souls and shepherding you well. Are we going to do it perfect? Absolutely not. We are fallen, sinful men just as well. But by God's grace, he is equipping us to shepherd under him to guard your souls. Okay? Church, I do not take this lightly. I don't like responsibility. You can ask Leanne. Okay? But I love you guys. And if God has called me to this, he will equip me to help shepherd you. Okay? Be gracious with me. I am going to be gracious with you. But we have, God has given us roles within the church that work. By his grace, they work. And the best that we can submit to the elders of this church, and I'm speaking with myself, I submit to these men as well. They can speak into my life about anything, anytime, and vice versa. Okay? But we must submit to those God has placed in authority over us to watch ourselves. Just like in a family unit, you can't have kids being all disrespectful to mom and dad, right? The way it works best is that kids are submissive to mom and dad. Mom and dad are the ones that have been placed over them to guide them as they grow and mature. It's the same in the church. As you submit to the elders here, it does not mean that you can never question, come up and ask us things. It never means that we're going to, you know, not make mistakes. We're going to, please be patient with us and forgive us as well, right? But like I said, God's grace, we must submit to those God places in spiritual authority above us. So please pray for us as we lead. And we want to do this with joy. We're in this together. So let's do this with joy. So I will protect the unity of my church by showing deference in following the leaders of the church. The second main point, when you signed, you're initialed as a member, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its members and its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by warmly welcoming one another and those who visit. I will share the responsibility of my church. So let's look at the first one. By praying for its members and its growth. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 to 3. Paul writes this. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at any of Paul's letters, he's constantly doing this kind of thing, right? He's thanking God for the church that he's writing to. He's excited. There's believers in this place. There's a church in this place. And he's praying for them. We as church members will share the responsibility of our church by praying for one another and for our growth. We do this on Sunday morning. We had a little bit longer prayer time this morning. It was good to lift up our brothers and sisters overseas. But how many times do we share with one another what's going on and we pray for one another? It's also important outside of Sunday morning to be praying for one another throughout the week. Wednesday night, prayer group on Zoom. As you get together throughout the week or maybe see one another, pray for one another. As people come to your mind in the middle of your work day or you're making muffins in the kitchen. Hey, Regina popped in my head. I'm just going to pray for Regina. You know, we're going to do that. We're going to be a praying people. We need to be marked by prayer. And we pray for our growth. And this just doesn't mean numerical growth. This means spiritual growth. We're praying growth in every way. We want to see maturity in the body of Christ. We must be praying and asking God to be doing that work. We can't muster all this up ourselves. Doesn't work that way. But we bring it to the Lord who can. Lord, you are the fruitful one. Here is a need. Pray. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its members and its growth. Next is by inviting the unchurched to attend. This goes back to the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Jesus says this to his disciples before he went to heaven. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is our main job as the church. Make disciples. And we're going to share the responsibility of Jesus' church by inviting the unchurched to attend. It is wonderful when we get Christians that come and join our church. Hey, I just moved in the area, been looking for a church, would love to be membered with you guys. Awesome. We love that, right? It's less messy. There's less work. Cool, you're a Christian already. We need to do our job. Jesus promises to be with us to the end of the age, and he says, go out and make disciples. This is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to speak out about our faith. It's uncomfortable to share what Jesus is doing in our heart, but we must be bold. Jesus wouldn't ask us to do something without equipping us to do it and be fruitful in it. He's with us. So, I think it's wonderful when we invite people, you know, from other churches, hey, just come visit. We don't want to steal healthy Christians from healthy churches. It's not our job. Our job is to make disciples. So let's keep that in mind as we go out and we share the gospel with people. Invite them to attend. I will share the responsibility of my church by warmly welcoming one another and those who visit. Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Everyone loves to feel welcomed, don't they? Hopefully you guys felt welcome this morning. We have been in positions before where we have traveled and visited other churches, or we moved to a new area and visited churches, and sometimes it feels a little overwhelming when the church, everyone's coming up to you and telling you their name, and I'm like, I'm never going to remember your name or anything. I'm like, you're meeting one person, and I'm meeting like 50, okay? And it's hard. But there's always that good feeling of, wow, that church was really welcoming. People genuinely felt interested in knowing who I was and welcoming me in and telling me what's going on and making sure that I feel a belonging here. When someone walks into a church, they should feel a belonging. This is a welcoming place. Just as the Lord invites anyone in who's willing, so the church should also be welcoming. You guys, don't get so comfortable with one another that you forget to welcome one another on Sunday either. We don't have to have new people here for you to be welcoming. Right? Go up and talk to people that you haven't talked to for a week or two. How you doing? How's that thing we were praying about last week? Whatever it is. Okay? It's wonderful. It's good even for people who are visiting to see us doing that with one another as well. Okay? We don't all have to overwhelm the new people. We can do it with one another as well, and they can see that's part of the culture here. We're just a welcoming body of believers. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its members and its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by warmly welcoming one another and those who visit. Next, I will serve the ministry of my church. By discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my elders, by developing a servant's heart. Let's look at these. By discovering my gifts and talents, 1 Peter 4. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Every person in this room has gifts given to them by God to edify the church, to make disciples, for the church. Every person here. If you don't know what yours is, it's okay. Okay? Just start by doing something. And the Lord will speak to you in that. You might start, there was a time we've been in other churches before, and I'm like, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are, I'm not real flashy or anything like that. And we just started serving and just seeing like, okay, I've been doing this for a few weeks. I'm not really feeling that this is my thing, And then there's other things I didn't even know about that the elders started equipping me, and maybe I should wait until the next one. But when we were up at Cornerstone Spooner, I went to the elders and I said, I feel this stirring of ministry in my heart. And they plugged me into leading the youth group. And there was things about leading the youth group that I was not good at. And thankfully, we had Matt and Melissa Meyer to help us as well. But I discovered I had a gift for teaching when I was leading the youth group there. I didn't know that. And it was just by starting out and doing something, trying something, I discovered a gift that I had in teaching. So if you don't know what yours is, just start by serving somewhere and see how the Lord and how the elders and how others speak into that. Maybe they'll say, Paul, really thankful that you brought snacks Sunday morning. It wasn't that good. Let's not do that one again. It might be awesome. We don't know, okay? But just start by doing something and see how the Lord speaks in the midst of that, okay? So we're going to serve the ministry of the church by discovering gifts and talents. And again, church, I use kind of a fluffy example here. We do love snack and we do love serving food and things like that. But think about the Great Commission, making disciples, edifying the church to make disciples. Those are the gifts that we really want to develop and see happen in each one of us. Amen? Okay. I will serve the ministry of my church by being equipped to serve by my elders. So Ephesians 4:11-13 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? We as elders want to see our church thriving. And to see our church thriving, we want to see you guys doing stuff. Okay? And there's going to be times that we say, hey, been watching this. You seem really good at this. Do you mind if we plug you in here and see how this goes? Okay? Again, none of this is binding. If you start leading, help by leading catechism class or something like that, and you find out a few weeks later, like, I can't deal with these kids. I'm not showing love to one another by dealing with these kids. We're going to say, okay, it's okay. It's not for you. But maybe it is. Maybe you have that gift of connecting with kids and teaching catechism. That's great. We want to see that, and we want to help you develop that gift. Okay? Maybe it's sharing something here Sunday mornings. Maybe it's leading in a worship team. Maybe it's going to the hospitals regularly and visiting and the sick and praying for them. We don't know, okay? We want to see us all start to develop and use our gifts for the glory of God and for the good of others, for the gospel. So I will serve the ministry of my church by being equipped to serve by my elders, okay? If you have something on your heart, hey, I've been really feeling this. I want to try this. Michael, what do you think of this? Don, what do you think of this? We will pray for you. We will do what we can to see you plugged in and start to try that gift out. Maybe you got it, maybe you don't. Let's try. Okay? I will serve the ministry of my church by developing a servant's heart. Again, I think all three of these points kind of overlap one another a little bit. But Philippians 2:3-7 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And it continues and goes on. He died on the cross, for he humbled himself to leave heaven and die on the cross for us. Okay? Jesus is the perfect example of humility. Just as God loved us, we love others. Christ was humble, so we too are humble before one another. And we develop a servant's heart. We don't have to work hard at being selfish. We were born that way, right? Any parent knows you don't have to teach a kid to be selfish. You need to teach people how to be selfless. And the best way to become selfless is to abide in the selfless one, Jesus. And we develop a servant's heart by laying aside our own interests and looking to the interests of others. That's what it means to be a part of the church. I'm caring for you. So, some examples might be rides, Sunday mornings. Oftentimes, there's someone in this church that needs a ride on Sunday morning. And it's good to humbly serve that way. Meals. Someone's sick. Someone's going through a hard time. Someone's down on their luck. Pay attention, church. Let's care for one another. Let's humbly serve one another by providing basic needs. Time together. This has been another thing that's been on the elders' heart. I think a lot of us are suffering in ways that we don't even know about because we're not spending enough time together. We all got crap going on in our life that we're kind of comfortable holding on to and not really wanting to share because we're not comfortable enough spending time together and sharing those things. And we need to. And a servant's heart says, I'm willing to set aside the things I want to do or my comforts, so I spend time with you and getting messy and getting into your life and praying for you and walking through this difficult time with you. That's what the church does. That's developing a servant's heart. Jesus, how many times in the Gospels did we read Jesus went out of his way to go minister to a leper or to a widow or to a people group? He had a servant's heart. And I think because he's with us, he expects us to have a servant's heart and do the same thing. Carry on the same ministry that Jesus did. That's the church's job. We develop a servant's heart and we humble ourselves to serve other people. So I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my elders, and by developing a servant's heart. Amen? Amen. Lastly, I will support the life of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, by being hospitable, by giving regularly. First of all, attending faithfully. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's important to be together, church. Whether it's Sunday mornings or things that we're doing midweek, our lives, our individual lives, should essentially revolve around the life of the church. That's what a believer's life should look like. The church is so important to me, I plan things around the life of my church. And it's hard. This culture is so hard. Everything's trying to pull us in another direction. Everything's trying to say, hey, you're an individual. You do you. But God's people have to be together. And we must attend faithfully. And I get it, church. There's time. I was just on vacation last week, okay? And it was glorious to just enjoy the jungle on a Sunday morning in Belize. Okay? There's time for that. It's okay. There's times when we're really sick and we shouldn't come to church on Sunday morning and get others sick. Okay? But for the most part, we must prioritize this time together. We have to. This is what builds us up. This is what encourages us. And if you ever get the attitude thinking, oh, I don't need those other people. Well, you know what? Maybe they need you. So it goes both ways. We need each other, and we need to be around each other, and we need to make this a priority. Okay? Like I said, there's grace, but for the most part, let's really try to pay attention on how to be together, especially in worship together. It's so wonderful. I'll support the life of my church by attending faithfully. I will support the life of my church by living a godly life. Romans 12:1-2. Paul writes this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. A living sacrifice. We read about sacrifices in the Old Testament, right? They take this animal and they would slaughter it on the altar. It's dead. A living sacrifice, the problem is the thing always tries to crawl off the altar, right? It's hard to be a living sacrifice. But when we abide in Christ, we're willing to say every day, I'm laying myself metaphorically on the altar of God. Lord, you have your way with me. I'm yours. Living a godly life. Are you the same person someone sees on a Sunday morning if they would see you Tuesday afternoon? I think we all have those moments where we would be a little embarrassed and say, oof, the way I was just speaking in traffic does not reflect who I am on Sunday morning, right? Or vice versa. How we treat people at work or school or our siblings when we're getting ready for school. Whatever it may be, are we living a godly life? Are we saying, yes, Lord, I am a living sacrifice, and I want to be a witness to you, not just when people come and see me at church on Sunday mornings throughout the week. I'm yours. I'm a representative of yours and your church. Again, how do we do this? We can't muster up this own strength in ourselves. We must abide in Christ. We must be with his people. That's how we make it. Next, I will support the life of my church by being hospitable. 1 Peter 4:8-9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, Siglin's coming by again.
It's a good thing.
No, we don't grumble. We're excited when we get to see one another, right? Hospitality, church. This one is big on my heart. This one works. I've seen it work so many times. Hospitality is great. And I want to say this over and over and over. But it's not an occasion. It's a lifestyle. Hospitality is not an occasion. It's a lifestyle. So there are times we have one another over into our home. Just because it's awesome. Try it. Have someone over for dinner. Be hospitable.
We did that.
You what?
We had someone over
for dinner. That's awesome. And you had a fun time, didn't you? And it was awesome, right? Church, there's also times, and this can be very uncomfortable, but I love this about the church that does this faithfully. When we have a chance to invite strangers into our home. So there's been times that we've had a friend of a friend and they need a place to stay for the night as they're coming through the Twin Cities or whatever. We have opened up our home and done it. And it's awesome. I don't think we've ever had a bad experience doing it.
But I'm always uncomfortable.
But you're always uncomfortable. Sure.
It's still uncomfortable.
It can still be uncomfortable. But true hospitality, church, is opening up your home, especially to other believers. Okay? And it even says in Hebrews, sometimes when we do that, we're entertaining angels. How cool would that be? Okay? Regardless of if they're angels or not, I think we are showing the love of Christ by being hospitable to people, even if we don't know them well. hey, how many times have we met someone at the park? Why don't you come over for dinner? What day works this week? And we like nail something down and we have people over and we become friends with them. And it's great. And I just want to encourage you guys, try it. Are there times it might be a little uncomfortable or things don't go the way you expect? Absolutely, it might happen. But for the one time that it doesn't, it does 10 other times, and it's awesome. Be hospitable. Build up this hospitality lifestyle. Again, just to stress this, hospitality isn't just feeding someone and letting them go. It's spending time together. It's being known and knowing one another. It's a time to witness and minister to people who come into your home. Some people, the only chance they get to see a Christian family is coming into your home. Some people, the only chance they get to see a Christian marriage at work, fighting over whether you set the table properly and how you deal with that problem, they get to see that when they come into your home. When the kids act up a little bit, they get to see a Christian mom or dad and how they function and love and discipline their children rightly. That's the chance for people to see what Christians are. Invite people into your home. And I would say also, invite one another into your home. It's great. You will build a bond that you never had before by sharing meals together in one another's homes. It's tough. It's uncomfortable sometimes. Figure it out. It's great.
I slept great at your house, Joe.
What's that?
I slept great at your house.
You slept great at your house. If you have a guest room, it's awesome. Just have people over. Have a slumber party. All right. So I will support the life of my church by being hospitable. And then lastly, by giving regularly. So 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, we have the plate there. Sometimes I feel convicted that maybe we should pass it. Because it's an act of worship, church. Giving is an act of worship. We're saying to God, you have given me everything I have. You've given me the talents and the knowledge to do my job, to earn money, to get everything I have. Everything good comes from God. And all God says is, I want you to check your heart. And I want you to give regularly to the church. It's a heart check. The church does things with money. We're able to bless missionaries. We're able to help those in need. We're able to do things with that money because it's coming in. We're able to be faithful to God and bless others because we are giving. Okay? Is there a specific number that you have to tithe or that where the accountant is watching and being like, oh, they're $1.75 short this week? No, we're not looking for that. What does it say in Scripture? Cheerful giver. Be a faithful and cheerful giver. And I tell you, church, the times that we are most generous, it comes back somehow. Okay? And it might not always come back financially the way that you maybe hope, right? But the Lord will bless you for being a blessing. Be faithful in giving, and he will continue to bless you and use you, and you will be so, so rich by giving. When we echo what Jesus did for us by being a giving people, we really feel the presence of God. So, support the life of my church by giving regularly. Let's close this up. I'm going a long time here. If we had a fruit tree, what would be the best way to see if the tree was healthy? Examine the fruit, right? Is this tree healthy? Is it producing fruit like it's supposed to? We would look at the fruit. And I want to encourage us all this morning, examine the fruit in your life. How are you doing? As we went through this, did you feel convicted about anything? Were there other things that you were saying, Lord, thank you. It seems like you've really done a big work in my heart. I never used to be like that, and now I'm seeing that fruit in my life. And thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life. But I think it's important that we regularly examine our fruit, not just of ourselves, but then also one another. That's part of being in the body of Christ. We're looking at one another's lives and examining fruit. We're not doing this in a hypocritical way. That never turns out well, does it? But it's right and good to judge one another's fruits and say, encourage one another. Well, Debbie, you're doing an awesome job at this. Keep going. It's great. It's a blessing to those around you. Thelma, you're doing awesome at this. Whatever it may be. Then there's other times where we say, I've been noticing this. Can we just talk about this? And maybe it's easily explained. Maybe it's something someone's got to pray some conviction into, right? But we go to one another and we examine each other's fruit. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're not held to the standard of the Old Testament law anymore. Jesus fulfilled that for us and he brought in a new one, the law of Christ. Love God, love one another. How do we do that? How do we best show love to one another? We look at each other's lives and we encourage one another in the faith. And then lastly, I just want to visit this one more time. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Again, this is a weighty job. None of the elders take this lightly, but we want to be actively engaged in your life. We want to see you grow in maturity, and I hope that you would like us to shepherd you into maturity as well. So, I'm doing this as a recap for all of us to remember what we signed up for as members. I'm also doing this to say, over the next few months, I would like to meet with each one of you and just see where we're at. How can I be a good pastor to you? How can these other elders be good pastors to you and help you grow in maturity? We want to help. This is not in any way supposed to be scolding you or nothing like that. It's to say, hey, I know you're struggling in this area. We're here to help. Let's pray into this. How can we help equip you to grow in maturity? So over the next few months, expect to see me or one of the other elders. We just want to get together with you and say, how can we help you grow in maturity? Amen? We're going to end. Jesus says you will recognize them by their fruits. Let's be a fruitful church. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict us of what we need to be convicted of this morning and encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Lord, you are the most amazing God. You sacrificed yourself so that we can be set free and that we can live with joy and live abundantly, abiding in you. And Lord, we thank you for your church. You died for your church. It's such a gift. And I pray that every person here would treasure your church as a gift. Lord, give us faith in the hard times. Help us to choose love because we've been loved. And Lord, I pray that each person here would grow in maturity and that we would all humbly shepherd and help encourage one another as you shepherd us. In Jesus' name, amen.